Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said, this could be a second Reformation Day or in the year, maybe the first, and then the second one would be in October. The message that is given in our word today is of the grace of God. Speaking of the grace that Paul writes, by grace you have been saved through faith. This not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ. The message of Ephesians is God's grace. And then in the gospel, God loved the world in the way he does in his grace. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God's grace, giving us that connection, giving us that which we couldn't get for ourselves, that connection with Christ, through Christ, with God, the promises of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come with God's grace. The message is fairly simple, but the life isn't. The life of one who is saved by grace through faith is anything but a simple one. Because you would think, and I think some people, like I talked about before, that don't get the inside joke or on the outside, don't understand being saved by grace through faith and yet living in this world as we live. Because you would think God, being rich in mercy, rich in grace, rich in love, would relieve us of any amount of suffering, pain, anxiety, worry, sadness, any of that, right? God's people should be happy, happy, happy all the time and should never suffer any ill effects, because you have this gracious God who has all the power and might in the world and all the love that could possibly be and more, and you'd think that this God would just make everything all right. Just fix it all so that it all is good. But he doesn't, which makes living the Christian life as one saved by grace through faith really hard. So one of the things that God doesn't do is remove suffering. And we as human beings want to avoid suffering at all costs. We will do just about anything to avoid suffering, to avoid pain. We don't like it. It's not comfortable. It's not good for us. We just don't want it. And so we'll try everything we can to avoid it. And you'd think, once again, with a God who is God, would just make it so that Christians didn't suffer. So then, you know, people would see, well, you're a Christian, you don't suffer. I want to be one too, so I don't suffer. Well, that's not the reason to become a Christian. To avoid suffering doesn't work that way. In our Old Testament reading, the fiery serpents, one of those times in the life of the people of Israel as they're wandering in the wilderness where God just says, I've had enough. People are complaining. They're moaning and grumbling and complaining. And God, in his grace, is leading them around the country of Edom, or around the Edomite people who want nothing but to destroy them. And so God, being gracious, says, I'll show you a way around so that you don't have to fight these guys. God, being gracious, shows them a way around. And it says, as they're making their way around towards the Red Sea, they become impatient. God, you're not doing this right. We should be going that way. You're leading us that way. God, I want you to do it this way. And God says, no, I'm gracious. Understand, this is for your good that I'm leading you around this way. And what do they start to do? Complain. And not only complain, but really start to get bitter. You know, that we're out here in the wilderness, there's no food and no water. Yes, there is. It's just not the kind you like. It's like mom saying, yeah, we have food at home. But it's not pizza. It's not McDonald's. It's not this. No, we have food at home. God is saying, I have food for you. I've given you manna, and I've given you quail, and you do have water. There's plenty. And what do they say? We loathe this worthless food. Spitting in the face of God, saying this miraculous manna that tastes like honey and provides the sustenance for each day is worthless. Might as well just push the food back at mom and throw it on the floor and say, Mom, you worked hard on this, but we don't want it. And God says, all right, I've had enough. So he sends the fiery serpents. Love that phrase, fiery serpents. I wonder what that was like. What does a fiery serpent look like? Could be translated as dragon, some sort of creature, lizardy thing that bites with a fiery bite. So much so that they're venomous or poisonous and people die from the bite. This is not the gracious and merciful God that he is a God who has been insulted, a God who has been mocked, a God who has been told what he provides is worthless. He's a God who's not going to play games with his people. But God is gracious. Upon their repentance, he tells Moses, all right, they've come around, so build this bronze serpent and put it up on a pole so that they have something to look at, and when they look at it, they'll live. The people had asked God to take away the fiery serpents. But what does God not do? He doesn't take away the fiery serpents. But he provides a way for them to live, even though they're going to suffer. Because the bite still happens. It says when they are bitten, they can look at this bronze serpent and live. God doesn't take away the bronze serpents. He doesn't send them off to some other place, but he provides a way so that when they're bitten, they won't die. When they are bitten, they won't die. It doesn't mean that the bite's not going to still hurt. It doesn't mean that they're still not going to be chased around by these little dragons that are biting them, but it means that they won't die. God is gracious. He could have just let them all be bitten and die. And as God would have been justified in the work that he did. But no, he provides a way to live. A way despite the suffering, in the midst of the suffering, he provides a way to live through it. This is our gracious God. He doesn't remove suffering, but he provides a way to live in it, to live through it. He provides a way for his people. The Christian life is not an easy life. Following Jesus means that there will be suffering in this life. But know this, that everybody in this life suffers, right? There isn't a human being alive who can say, I've never suffered a day, ever. Never had a cold, never had a toothache, never had a paper cut, never had a day of suffering in my entire life. There's nobody who can say that, truthfully. But not everybody has a way to live through it. Not everybody has a way that God has provided to live through it, to endure the suffering. Last week, or the week before, the reading was from Romans, where he talks about that suffering produces character, and character produces, or suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And it's in that hope that we live. God provides a way. It may not look like the way we would hope. It may not be the way that we ask. Remove the fiery serpents. Nope. But I will give you a way to live through it. Lord, remove the cancer. No, but I'll give you a way to live through it. Lord, remove the pain. No, but I'll give you a way to live through it. Now, I'm not saying that sometimes he doesn't remove the cancer, or sometimes he doesn't remove the pain, sometimes he doesn't remove the suffering. He does. He does do that. But he provides a way to live through it each and every time. See, in the Ephesians reading, he says that we were saved by grace through faith, that we were dead in our trespasses, that we were sons of wickedness, that we were these horrible beings before God saved us. Yes, we were sinners, all, each and every one of us. God did not leave us in that. He didn't abandon us to the sin. In fact, he provided a way out. He provided a way for us in the midst of it. He doesn't say that now that we're fellow Christians, we should never sin. There are some who believe that. That as a follower of Jesus, we never sin. Yeah. Chief of sinners, though I be, Jesus gave his life for me. We're all sinners. But God doesn't leave us there. He doesn't abandon us to our sin. He provides a way. His grace, the faith that he gives us, the love and mercy that he shows through his son Jesus, he gives us a way to live through it, to survive it, to see the hope that's there in this world for us. He provides a way. And that way is Jesus, as he himself says in John 3. Right? God loved the world. Loved the world. Loves the world. He loves his creation. I love the Greek there says cosmos. He loved cosmos. All that he created. Every single atom, molecule, bit, planet, everything he created, he loved. And that he didn't want it to remain in its broken state. And so he says, well, I'm not going to remove the suffering from everybody for everywhere yet, but I will provide a way. I'll provide a way through. And so he sent his son Jesus, as John 3:16 says. He sent his son so that those who believe in him, those who look to him, can have eternal life. It doesn't say that those who look to him will never suffer. That those who look to him will avoid all pain. Those who look to him will never get sick, will never go hungry, will never be lost. No. Those who look to him will be saved, will have eternal life, given the precious gift of God's grace. Those who look to him won't perish, won't be condemned, won't be lost, won't be given over into the darkness. But he'll provide a way. That little phrasing there, why we read the first verse of John 3:15, God loved the world in the same way that he gave them away, right? The bronze serpent on the pole. He gave the people of Israel away, that when it was lifted up and people looked to it, so the Son of Man, Jesus, is going to be lifted up. He'll be lifted up on the cross for us. So that when we see that cross, it's not the physical wood that saves us. That'd be pretty spectacular. But it's who died on the cross for us. And that faith that we have in him that provides a way to endure, a way to live through the suffering, to know that he is in it with us, that the Holy Spirit is in it with us. That we are in it with one another. Paul will say we share one another's burdens. We're in it together. When we suffer, when one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. When one weeps, we all weep. This is the body of Christ that we live in. This is the fellowship that we're part of. If you're having a hard time, if you're suffering, look to your brothers and sisters in Christ to hold you up, to walk with you. Nobody in here is in here alone. No one. You're part of the body of Christ. No one is alone. Again, that doesn't mean we won't suffer, go through hard times, struggle. It means that we don't do it alone. Not only do we have us, but we have Him, Christ, who died for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard and keep our hearts always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.